Be'ezer Hashem, today we're going to be wrapping up Simin Pei Tes and beginning Simin Sadi Aleph. So what we had seen, we had left off in Simin Pei Tes, discussing the halachos of milchiks, followed by fleishiks, where we have a very interesting Ramah in regards to Gvina Kasha. Now, before we get back to what we had discussed in the Ramah, I'd like to take a step back. And in booklet number 7, we have on the first page, the Beis Yosef gives us the Makar for the Chshash of Gvina Kasha. And that in the tour, there's absolutely no recognition. By the way, the reason this appears in the tour is we have the halachos of Bracha Sheba Seuda, so the Torah discusses many halachos that are connected to Seuda. So he begins to discuss some halachos that relate to Zman of Seuda and waiting, etc., etc. The Torah says that there is no problem having Basar after Gevina in Simen Kuf Ayin Gimel. Second line in in number 7 booklet, first page, Ubasar achar gvina muter miyad al yidei kinuach vadochas pivun until sidaim. So he says, really, there's no problem altogether. However, there is a Beis Yosef who gives us two different sources. It's going to be important to emphasize these two different sources. Last time we jumped in immediately in the Ramah, and I figured we should take a step back and see it. Our Beis Yosef didn't discuss it in Yoredeya because he discussed it in Simen Kuf Ayin Gimel. And he says in Dibra Maschel V'yesh Machmir Malatzman, he quotes two groups of approach that would prohibit at times Basar Achar Gvina. Number one, he says the Zohar that we made reference to last year, where the Zohar says that there's a problem to have in the same Su'udah both Basar and Chalav. So here we have the notion that you're not supposed to have even Basar immediately after Chalav, if you understand that within the same Su'udah doesn't mean literally the same Su'udah as we discussed previously, but could mean a period of time. So according to the Zohar, it could very well be that there is an inyan not to have it B'shasa Chada o B'su'udasa Chada. That's the Lashon of the Zohar, as quoted by the Beis Yosef in Devar Maslech Yesh Machmir. Rav Nevensal commented to me that there are different Girsos in the Zohar when discussing the Zohar, but either way, at the end of the day, there is the Shaitza Chada, so it could be that you need to wait an hour between cheese and having meat, or for that matter, it could very well be milchiks in general as well. The other source, the Beis Yosef goes on, is a Mardechi that the Nosei Kelim made reference to for us in Simen Pei Tes, and that is a Mardechi quoting a Maram. Let's read the words inside the Beis Yosef. Ukvar kosa Mardechi she Maram ha'yinoik shelo lechol psar behema v'chai achar gvina lefi she pam achas misu'uda l'su'uda matza gvina bein shinav gozar l'hachmir al atzma. So he made a gzeira on himself not to have meat after cheese, because he might have cheese between his teeth. He has a problem. What about at the end of the day? Maybe you would say a shekoach. You would say that at the end of the day, this should qualify as being mosif on takanas chazal. So we know from Mar Ukva and his father, it doesn't qualify as that type of problem. And therefore, we have this chumrah on the books as well. The Darkei Moshe makes reference to this in Simen Pei Tes, and this is the two different sources for being machmir and not eating immediately basar achar gvina. If you take the approach that it's basar bein hashin gvina bein hashinayim, like the Mardechi suggests, so then we understand very much the concern of the Ramah. When the Ramah says in Siv Beis, V'yesh machmir afil basar achar gvina, and he quotes the Mardechi, V'chei nagim, shekol gvina kasha. If it's gvina kasha, so then, in such a case, we're concerned that it's going to be between the teeth. And then, in such an instance, one has the same chshashos of basar. So that could very well be our source to be machmir for gvina kasha for Ashkenazim, Whereas we mentioned last time, the Ramah concludes Miutov Lahachmer. I want to point out, first of all, last time I will not repeat, we were mefalpel within the Taz. I just want to point out that the Taz had said Beferish against what we seem to have read from the Maharam in the Mardachi. The Taz said that when it came to Gvina, we were not concerned about Bein Hashinayim. If you look in the Mardachi himself, as the Beis Yosef quotes, he said, Hafuch, he says, the Chshash is Gvina Bein Hashinayim. So it's Sarachiyun Gadol on the Taz that we saw before. But either way, this is what comes out as far as that is concerned. Coming back to the topic of Gvina Kasha, so we've done it Bezer Hashem well. We saw the tshuva of Rav Yashiv. We saw the tshuva of Rav Ozner. Just an update, I did speak to Rav Ben-Zion Vozner, Shlita, that's Rav Ozner, one of Rav Ozner's oldest sons, who I have the schus to daven in his shul on Shabbos. I chose it because I like the Hasidish davening on Friday night. But it turns out it was a tremendous bonus that this is Rav Ozner's son. It wasn't even my initial cheshba. So I asked him, what was Rav Ozner's shita? Because many of the avrichim were being mafalpa within the tshuva. Rav Ozner was quite vague. So I got the bottom line from him. He said, bottom line, he said, I saw my father eat cheese many times. He said, I saw my father eat cheese. I never heard my father being machmir on cheese today as being gvina kasha. So a little bit of a tzarachiyun, what Rav Ozner means in the tshuva. But bottom line, Rav Ben-Zion Vozner says, bottom line, that is what he recalls from his father is he never recalls it being a big deal that his father was machmir. Now again, those who know Rav Nevensal Shlita knows that Rav Nevensal does hold it's a big deal. And the Talmidim, I was excited that they found for me that in the Halicha Shlomo, it's the Cheshbon of Rav Shlomo Zalman as well, which was a different chash of Rav Ozner, as we outlined already previously, which I will not repeat. One final issue of Miller claimed as a machlokis amongst the Talmidim of Rav Shlomo Zalman, whether Rav Shlomo Zalman said that most cheese today qualifies as Gvina Kasha. The machlokis of the Talmidim was whether Rav Shlomo Zalman instructed others that way or was just machmir for himself, like Rav Yashiv held. So Rav Nevensal was, as you would predict, Rav Nevensal was quite strong that Rav Shlomo Zalman paskin that way for others as well and wasn't only machmir for himself. That's Lishitaso that Rav Nevensal feels strongly, as we outlined previously, because the enzymes have changed, the process has changed, and Yisrael Moshe found me that it's in the Halicha Shlomo. So then that works out as the Mahalcha of Shlomo Zalman, which is, as you saw, was quite different than the Mahalcha of Ozner or Ramesha. And so these are Nahara, Nahara, Poshte, two different Shitos. Definitely Hamekel, Yesh, Hami, Lismach. But at the end of the day, this is the Sugya with a couple of the Tzarech Iyuns. As far as, there was a hand over here. Yes, Binyam.
Yeah, that's what it was last time, that even when Rav Ozner was not there, it was only for an hour.
His son didn't notice. I didn't even get to the hour. I didn't even get to the hour part, because he says he doesn't even, but maybe that's the Yishuv.
Right.
I backed down, because he was so firm with me. He said his father wasn't machmir for most cheese, but maybe you want to say he was machmir for an hour, but I'll follow up. What Rav Ben-Zion Vozner did say, that he feels very strongly about, and let's get back into Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch, there is, of course, a halacha of netilas yadav, okay? That we have in Sif Gimel. Let's move ahead in Sif Gimel. Achol tashul shabasa, mutal acharav tashul shav gvina. We'll discuss all these things, the definition of tashul, etc. Vatina and anatila beinim ein al rishus. Avol ba lechol hagvina atzma achar tashul shabasa, o abasar atzmo achar tashul shav gvina, chova litol yodov. If an individual is eating a tashul of Gvina after Basar Atzmo, so then in such a case, he has a requirement to be Notel Yodav. So there is a requirement of Netila. Not only is there a requirement of Netila, we also saw that there is a requirement of Kinuach and Hadacha. We just saw that there is a requirement to be Mekaneach Piv Uladicha. So Rav Ben-Zion Vozner told me the following. Even though when it comes to basar, achar cholav, the makar to be machmir and to wait an extended period of time is nebulous, as I'll develop shortly. He feels very strongly, even for small children, they should still be machmir to do appropriate kinuach and adacha. And he agreed with what we had posited last time, and that is that mouthwash really would not be enough. Someone should choose something, as well as to wash their mouth out. And notice, even though we said that there's no makar, except for the Zohar, to say that you need to wait an hour between the two, nevertheless, in terms of kinuach and adach and netila, so there the halacha is clear that it goes both from basar to chalav, as well as from chalav to basar. This came up, it happens to be just yesterday, someone called me up with the shayla. What happened was their child was served supper, and what happened, like our children do in a lovely manner, they say, Abba, I don't like supper. I don't want to eat supper. Okay. So then Abba realizes, okay, I'll give him his favorite milchik meal. So what's the halacha in terms of chinuch? So chinuch in itself is a sugya by itself in terms of hamtana, how to be mechanech children. Rav Miller and many others have mentioned that you definitely don't start with 6 hours. The details of how to go and develop based on, I was actually, my master's work in Columbia was on developmental psychology. So here's where development and halacha go together. But putting that aside, we're not going to discuss that now. Bottom line is, what I told this individual is, in this case, I said what's important, even though the child is not yet at the age of hamtana, is still to be mechanich with kinuach and hadacha. And that was what Rav Ozner said as well, going from chalav to basar as well. That even though mi'ikr d'dina, you might not need to wait at all, it needs to be emphasized that we saw in the tour, in the Beis Yosef, we have here in Siman Pei Tes as well, that when it comes to kinuach and adacha, that is absolutely necessary. So that is where there is some confusion, where the halacha gets confused with the chumras. That kinuach and adacha is absolutely necessary. Okay. What about those who do have a custom to wait between chalav and basar? What's that based on? So it seems to be based on the Zohar. The Zohar said, as we saw, if you go like the Maharam, so then you only have to be machmer and gvina kasha, and then you just have to define what gvina kasha is. But if we're talking about the Zohar, we saw two different strains. If we're talking about the Zohar, so then there would be an inyan to wait for an hour. Now, once the individual waited for an hour, so then Yisrael and Moshe showed me a beautiful ha'arab from the Sefer Divrei Shalom. The Sefer Divrei Shalom is in booklet number 7. You have in booklet number 7. I hope we have a photocopy of it. We did. Yes. It's after Halicha Shlomo. After Halicha Shlomo, the Divrei Shalom, but we're not going to read the Divrei Shalom yet. First, I'm going to show you a shach. I love this diuk of the Divrei Shalom. Take a look at the shach. Sif katan zayin. That we learned the requirement of kinuach and hadaka. He's going on the requirement of kinuach and hadaka. Dibar maschil tsarich lenakro ula hasira. So says the shach, kvar nispar b'sif katan dalid, the tsarich hadaka v'kinuach hapeh. We learned that those who say you wait an hour between meat and milk, you need hadaka v'kinuach. Avol vada im lo matza basa ben ashinimayim, Daminig Bamtana Sha Sagi Afilu below Kinuach Vadacha. When do you need Hadacha and Kinuach? That's if you checked and there was Basar Bein Ashinayim. But the Shach says, if you waited the amount of time that you're supposed to wait, okay, and that is for us 6 hours. For one opinion in the Ramah for an hour, then in such a case there's no need for kinuach and hadacha. So first of all, from this shach, comes out bottom line, is in general, if you know that, or you think that there's no basar bein hashinayim, and you wait 6 hours, of course there's no need for kinuach and hadacha, unless you believe there is basar bein hashinayim. Okay, that's pretty straightforward. The Shach is just mechadesh that the man d'amar who holds an hour would say that if you waited an hour, then there's no need for a kinuach and aydacha. Zok the divrei shalom and simin peches, he was an ungarish posek in Williamsburg. He says as follows. He says, kal v'chomer, if you hold that you need to wait between milk and meat, so then in such a case, if you waited that requisite time, then you're not going to need kinuach and adacha. If the Shach said, according to the Man d'Amar, who says that 1 hour is enough, you don't need kinuach and adacha after that, from basar to gvina, certainly, when you're going from chalavi to basar, then certainly if you waited an hour, then that would be enough. Now the Divrei Shalom does say a little bit more of a chiddush. He suggests even after a half hour. So here, I come to a problem, and that is, I've never seen people formulate it this way, but the problem is, there's a minig Yisrael that has no clear makar. And the minig Yisrael that has no clear makar is a half hour. The Zohar seems to say an hour. Most opinions would say that you don't have to wait at all, just kinuach and adacha, and somehow the minig Yisrael is a half hour. I asked from Nevinsal how long to wait? Half hour. Take a look at Alicha Shlomo in Shavuos, page Shin Pei Dal in Alicha Shlomo. It's in your booklet, the page before the Divrei Shalom. Shlomo Zalman waited. Shavuos, a half hour. Take a look at Rav Sternbuch, Chelek Bei Simin Shin Sadi. The minig is a half hour. Lonia's Daiti, I have both a kula and a chumra. And that is that our Rebbe said that the Minig Yisrael is a half hour. So that's the Minig Yisrael. For those who have a Masorah not to wait at all, there is, if it's not Gevina Kasha, if you do Kinuach V'Adacha, that's going to be fine. Rav Sternbuch adds, oh, this is very halachal maisa, because we're a coffee generation. Rav Sternbuch says he really thinks that when it comes to a coffee, then there's no problem. Right after a coffee to do Kinuach and Adacha, no need to wait even a half hour itself. Because, yeah, the likelihood, again, remember the Maram was Basar Bein Ashinayim, and he doesn't think the Zohar is talking about something as liquidy as that. So therefore, Mikur Dedina, coffee, to wash one's mouth out, and then Rav Sternbuch says it would be mutter. Yeah, the milk would be the same thing. I would just want to add a Maman of Shach, and that is, if one would ask, what would be the ideal approach in the world of theory? I'm not talking lemaisa lemaisa. Ideal approach would be wait an hour in terms of to be yotze or cover all your bases. If it's not gvina kasha, you wait an hour, lagamri, it will be fine. And then your mamish mekayim, the pashup shan in the zohar. Everybody's fudging the zohar. You mekayim the zohar. If you're going to wait a half hour, so I like the divrei shalom's diuk. But I don't like the conclusion of it. Dahainu, the Divrei Shalom seems to say that even after a half hour would be mutter without kinuach and adacha. But at the end of the day, mamanushach, the half hour has no makor in halacha. It's a minug. It's a minug along lines of breaking up the su'udah. So if that would be so, it would seem to me that after a half hour, if a person is going to follow a half hour, definitely that is the minig Yisrael, but it would seem to me that one should do kinuach and adach in such a case as well. By the way, it doesn't have to be kinuach of eating a piece of bread. It could be also, it would seem to me, brushing one's teeth and gargling also. But at the end of the day, if one is going to wait a half hour and file the minig Yisrael, there seems to be makar to be machmir for kinuach and adach simultaneously. I thank Yisrael for forcing me to discuss that which was not in the Shulchan Aruch itself, because it's very much lemaisa. We would have gone on, because it really, most of this stuff doesn't come up in Shulchan Aruch. In other words, that hour, half hour doesn't come up. It doesn't come up at all with the Shulchan Aruch and Nosei Kelim. Yeah?
With the people who have the minhag to not wait at all between Chala and Basar, is there a matter of time that you don't have to do Kinuach and Adacha afterward? Or do you owe, like, even after?
So that, I would have thought that the answer is an hour.
Even if you,
What's that?
Mamanav
shach, but then you always have a chiyuv of kinuach hanadacha, unless we're talking about food items like a coffee and so on, where there's no chshash of bein hashinayim, leaving aside the Taz's understanding of the Maharam, the biggest chshash seems to be basar bein hashinayim. Tov. So this is Bezer Hashem Simin Sif Bez, excuse me. In Sif Gimel, we began to see that when it comes to Tavshil Shabasar, we need to define Tavshil Shabasar and Bima'ayin in those halachos. So once again, let's take a look at Siv Gimel. Achol Tavshil Shabasar Mutar Lechol Achrav Tavshil Shogvina. So Mi'ikur Dedina, the Mechaber Paskins, that if you have something that qualifies as a Tavshil, so then if a Tavshil Shabasar, you're allowed to eat immediately Gvina afterwards. V'hanetila Beinem Einu El Rishus. In general, of course, as we mentioned, Netila's requirement. However, if it's tavshil, then mikudin will be mutter. Skip the parentheses. Avlan bo lechol gvina atzma achar tavshil baso, ha baso atzma achar tavshil shel gvina, chova litol yadav. Then in such a case, there is a requirement to wash one's hands. So what we're being introduced to in Siv Gimel is the chiyuv of netila, bein gvina, and bein basa. Before we deal with the chiyuv of netila, we're immediately going to go to the Ramah's discussion of what qualifies as basar, what qualifies as tavshil shel basar, and what are the halachas of hamtana between them. So first the Ramah says, v'shumen shel basar dina kabasar atzma. The fat of the meat itself is considered like the basar itself. So you don't think that that has a din tavshil. And then the Ramah introduces a chumrah. V'nagu achshav l'hachmir shel lechol gvina achar tavshil basar, k'mo achar basar atzmo. And our custom today is not to eat gvina even after a tavshil of basar, like the basar itself. Ve'ein l'shanos v'lifrotz geder. Don't change from that minhag. What's the Ramah's own definition of a tavshil shel basar? So let's take a look at the Ramah in the Darkei Moshe. The Ramah in Peites, in the Darkei Moshe, in Os Vav, gives us his definition of what qualifies as a tavshil. Sifkot and Vav in the Darkei Moshe, Abagos, Maimni, Kos, B'Shem, Asmak, De Barak, Marak, Shel, Basar, Yesh, Lo, Din, Basar, Atzmo. Some say that a meat soup, even if you're not going to even imbibe the meat itself, that's considered basar. And therefore you would have to wait 6 hours. Rabbeinu Yona Kosav Shieshal Din Tavshul Shabasa, Kosav Beis Yosef, Shem Rabbeinu Bruchim, Dikhein Nogu Rabbosein Bimara Kedin Tavshul Shabasa, Hoel Vadover Hadover Tzololhu, Aval Av Kigonim Yurakos Yeshal Din Basar. So the Darkei Moshe quotes those who say that if it's thick, then it has a din of basar, and if it's liquidy, then it has a din tavshil shel basar. But at the end of the day, it's not going to make a difference for Ashkenazim, because the Ramah concludes the following. And this is what we saw in the Ramah's Hagos. Let's take a look at the Ramah at the end of Sifkat and Vav. Shenagu laolam shlo lechol gvina acher tavshil shel basar klal ve'ein lifrotz geder. So our custom is that even though it could be that something that was cooked with meat that was liquidy, that was clear, that's the better word, that was clear, so then in such a case it would have a din of tavshul shel basar, nevertheless we consider that basar itself. So the bottom line is that anything that's cooked with basar, anything, is automatically going to have a din basar, and therefore you have to wait 6 hours. Rav Miller Shlita pointed out that this does not only apply with those items that are directly cooked with basar. He gave a very, very practical case, and that is, this is not obvious to people, wasn't always obvious to me, and that is what happens if you have a store, fast food place, where they have oil that is used for both cooking something fleishix. It's used for some, you know, fried chicken. And then they make chips in that same oil. But, in contrast to the case of the Darkei Moshe, the oil, the moment that the chips were made, does not have any chicken inside at that moment. So the halacha is that since the oil has a din basar, right, it was cooked with it, the oil has a din basar, memela, the chips also have a din basar, and not for now, it doesn't, the rule of not barnat does not apply. I can't explain why. We aren't even discussing not barnat right now, but the bottom line is that the chips have a din basar, and therefore, surprise, that in such a case, one would have to wait 6 hours from after the French fries to eating milchiks. Okay, so this is the bottom line that comes out from the Ramah, and the Ramah contrasts it with the following case. Miuim ein basar, continues the Ramah in the Shulchan Aruch, bitavshil rakshin is bashal b'kdera shel basar. But if there's no meat in the tavshil, but it was cooked in a fleishig pot, mutar lechal achar of gvina v'ein bo minig lahachmir. There's absolutely no minig to be machmir on something that was cooked in a fleishiga pat. Okay, so this is the bottom line as far as the halachos of what qualifies as basar. At the end of the day, we are machmir for tavshul shel basar. For svardim, there's a lot of makar to be makel, but the Ramah says the minig is lahachmir to not to eat after tavshul shel basar gvina. What about the inverse? What about a case of tavshul shel gvina? So let's take a look at the Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger in Sif Katan Gimel says the following: Uma dekasev harama shelo lechol gvina achar tavshul basar. This that we say that you're not allowed to eat gvina after tavshul basar, hainu gvina be'en. Aval tavshul shel gvina, mut achar, tavshul basar mutur binatila lechutz. There's an interesting kula that Rabbi Akiva Eger has. Rabbi Akiva Eger says that if you had a tavshul shel basar, let's take the case of the fries, or the classic case is something that you didn't eat basar at all, but it had been cooked with meat, so you're not allowed to eat gvina afterwards. You have to wait 6 hours for that. But to eat a tavshil shel gvina, then in such a case, Rabbi Kiva Eger says, would be mutter. That means something that had been cooked with milchiks, but in of itself, it doesn't have the actual chomer, the actual material, the actual gvina itself. So then in such a case, Rabbi Kiva Eger claims that there are those who are mekel. He then goes on and quotes that there are machmirim. So, Nahara Pashte, there is a makar, there is one kink in the armor over here, and that is that even though we're machmar and tavshul shel basar, there are shitas that hold that tavshul shel gvina is going to be mutter. Generally, people associate Rabbi Kiva Eger's diukim as lamdashid diukim that are more machmar than they are mekel. However, many times, as you've seen, Rabbi Kiva Eger has diukim in Ramah that actually brings out a beautiful kula. What's that?
I mean, the Zakimosha is not allowed off with Rabbi
Kiva Eger. Correct. Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah, there is a bomb kasha that the Shach asks. Shach asks the following bomb kasha. This is going to require a little bit of background. The Shach asks that the Ramah's Chiddush doesn't make any sense to him. The Ramah had said that if you have a tavshil that had been cooked in a pot, so then of basar, then there isn't the problem of waiting 6 hours. Then obviously you could eat milchiks afterwards. Take a look at the Shach's Sifkat and Yutes. He has a bomb kasha, which is really not a kasha at all. Likamon reish simin sadihe yispa'er dafilu la'achlo im gvina mutter dahave nat barnat. Okay, now you're not going to master nat barnat by now, but Be'ezer Hashem will be coming out of your ears around a little bit before Hanukkah time. But just for basic purposes, the Gemara gives an example of a dad. You have a piece of fish that is on a fleishik dish. So it absorbs, there's nesinas tam of basar into the dam. The Gemara now says that if you want to take this dam and eat it with kutach, kutach was a milkshake, so then it's mutter. Why? Says the Gemara, because of the following. Nesinas tam bar nesinas tam. You had the basar that gave tam into the kli, that's one nesinas tam. And then you had a second nesinas tam, that's this. And that is the kli into the dag. So Gemara says, mutar lechol im kutach, you're allowed to eat it with a kutach. Everybody follow the basic nat bar nat? Basar into the dish, the dish into the dag, then you're allowed to even eat it with milchiks. You wouldn't catch an Ashkenazic housewife have a hava mina to do such a thing, but it's a beferish gemara that's mutter. Okay, so far so good. Asks the shach a very simple question. I need the Ramah to come and tell me that if in this pot I cooked something, right, I cooked dag, that I don't have to wait 6 hours after the dag? The halacha is that it's mutter to even eat it with the kutach. It's not parnat. What's the chiddush? Gvaldik akasha, no? You hear Rabosa? It's a gvaldik akasha, yeah?
Can I say the question?
Absolutely. Says the shach, the halacha is that if I have fish that absorbed tam from the fleshiga dish, I'm allowed to eat it with milchiks. That's the simple reading of the Gemara, of Nat Bar Nat. If so, then why does the Ramah need to say that if I cook fish in a fleshiga pot, then you don't have to wait 6 hours? Forget about 6 hours. This is a classic case of Nat Bar Nat, and it's mutter. Take a look inside, in the shach, everything inside. Says the shach, L'kamon reish simin sadi, hey, yispa'er. Da fil achlon gvina mutter, da vinat bernat. This is the shach's kasha. And Be'ezer Hashem, now what we're going to do is see three terutzim to this kasha. The shach suggests the following chiddush, a chiddush that most achronim don't like, and I happen to like a lot. I think once you defend the shach well, Rav Miller concluded that this shach is very difficult, and as you know, I'm generally mevatel myself to Rav Miller. I think the shach is not so difficult. I think there's a beautiful shach. It's a shtickle, it's a chiddush, la'alacha, but I think it's a beautiful shach. So Rav Miller said the shach's answer last. I'm going to say it first. Take a look at the shach's teretz. V'nira, d'ha ashminan. I'm sorry, Jacob, I just want to get to the bottom of this. V'nira d'ha ashminan hacha. To mutter lechol gvina acharkach, haynu afilu nisbashel begiteira shalochutchu yafe. The shach says this is not a case of nat bar nat. Nat bar nat is when the plate is clean, but the plate is hot, which was one fleshiks. Our case of the ramaz kula is when the pot hasn't been entirely cleaned. They didn't clean the pot entirely. And the chiddush is davik tzas ma moshu shel iser sifkot and yutes in the shach. Did a guy gavna also lachlon gvina? For sure, it would be usher to eat with gvina if you had some mamoshus in the pot. And therefore, argues the shach, the chiddush over here is that you don't have to wait 6 hours, even though there's a little bit of mamoshus in the pot. As I mentioned on the outline, there are many achronim that don't like this teretz of the shach. The Achronim discussed this in Kufayin Gimel, the Elyo Rabba and the Prima Gadim. They're all bothered that at the end of the day, that this shach is difficult. Because Mamanim Shach, if there's 60 times the meat inside of that pot that hasn't been cleaned, so then it's not considered meat. And if there's less than Shishim, then it's meat. Then it's meat. Said, why is it that you don't have to wait 6 hours? He ate meat. That's the kasha, the Prima Gadim, and the Elyo Rabba and Kufayin Gimel ask on the shach. So I don't think it. I don't think the shach is that difficult. If you take a look at in our booklet, I believe it's still in booklet 6. So the Yad Yehuda, many of you know that I love the Yad Yehuda. Yad Yehuda is every single time. Yad Yehuda always has beautiful terutzim. I think the Yad Yehuda says a beautiful terutz. In his, there are two, it's written like the place of the Yad Yehuda. Oh, where is it in your booklet? It's the second to last page in booklet number 6. The Yad Yehuda in Os Hey. The way the Yad Yehuda is written is similar like the Plesi. On the right side is a very brief synopsis, and on the left side, on the inner side, is more of a larger arichus. So he quotes the Achronim's Kasha, and he gives a beautiful, beautiful teretz. I'll tell it to you in my own words. You tell me if I'm, what I'm saying is what the Yad Yehuda says. I think it's emes lamita. I think it's what the Shach means. There's a big difference between calling something meat in terms of eating it with milk and calling something meat to wait 6 hours. And the shach is being mechadesh that the whole gzeira of chalav achar basar, the whole gzeira of chalav achar basar was in a case of where you ate something that qualified as meat because it was given chashivus as meat. In other words, that you if you eat something that is a tavshil of basar, you wanted the meat to be there, it adds taste, the Ramah is machmir, tavshil shel basar were machmiran. This is not tavshil shel basar. This is the leftovers that are sitting in the bottom of the pot. So you don't need to be Meshayer Shishim. The whole gzeira was not made for that. Again, the Mechaber had said the whole gzeira is only basar mamish. We're machmir for tavshil shabasar. But most you'll talk, when's it called a tavshil shabasar? It's called a tavshil shabasar when the basar had chashivas, it was adding tam. Over here, we're talking about a bachelor's apartment where he doesn't clean out the pots very, very well. And on that, you're going to say that you have the din of hamtana for 6 hours? The shach holds that you don't have the din of hamtana in such a case. It could be that it might be a little bit less than shishim. Might be a little bit less than shishim. That should be one of the questionnaires that the guys should ask each other. Would you clean the pot out that it would be even less than shishim? Or no, you would even have more than and so on. So the point is that the hagdara of whether there's a din tam in the tavshil or not is appropriate when we're dealing with the din d'oraisa. When we're dealing with this gzeira, the shach is being mechadish, that you don't have to be machmer. According to this, Yad Yehuda comes out of Big Kula. And I think it's emes lamita. And that is, that if you have a tavshil in which the meat was in no way a primary ingredient, but it was just something that had been left over, then there might very well be room to be makel according to Yad Yehuda. That's how he is miyashev this kasha on the shach. Now, in regards to other approaches of nat bar nat, yes, Jacob, you had a question?
Yeah, well, how is this worse than the chips, or how is it worse than this?
What's that?
The chips in the oil.
Yeah, because, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. You want to say that at the end of the day, the person's not interested at all in the... I hear.
There might even be 60 times the oil.
No, presumably there's tam. Presumably there's tam. So there could be someone would argue that it helps in terms of the time of the chips. I don't know.
You can say the same thing about this dish with the
fish. No, there's a big difference between the two. I mean, I don't know. I'm not in the restaurant business. But I don't know if what people would say about adding taste into the chips. But I would agree that if the restaurant owner would look at this as simply being shiure that he wouldn't want, that there's room to be mekel. Yeah, ein echanami. Rav Miller is l'shitaso. Rav Miller didn't like the whole shach in the first place. But the Yad Yehuda, I think there is room to be mekel. Yes, Binyamin.
Once you cook the meat in oil,
yes.
So then the oil is
not
cooked. The oil is cooked
with
meat.
Right.
It's like, it's meat.
It's meat.
It's
part of meat.
Right.
It's not shumach al basar, though. No. If it's oil, it's like super mature.
Right. So that we're going to have to get involved with the halacha of shuman.
Oil is an integral part of the fry.
Right.
Even the oil. So it's So like,
It's not the same thing. Okay, Yeshel Falpel. But the Yad Yudas Teretz is a beautiful Teretz. In other words, let's not get confused between what something that has a din basar in terms of basar v'chalav and the din hamtana of 6 hours, and the Yad Yehuda says you could be making between the two. Yesh lefalpa on what you just raised. The Prima Gadim gives another answer to the Shach's Kasha, to the point that the Prima Gadim says that really the Shach's Kasha wasn't really on the Ramah altogether. And this is just a reference. I'm not going to spend too much time on this. This halacha of Nat Bar Nat, says the Prima Gadim, according to the Ramah, does not apply if the fish was cooked inside of a pot. The Ramah himself, in Simon Sadiha, is of the opinion that if the fish is cooked in a fleshig pot, then the halacha is you're not allowed to eat it with a kutach. We're going to spend a lot of time. That's machlok between the Chaber and Ramah. That's one of the biggest differences between Ashkenazim and Sfaradim today, is whether we're machmir, whether you have the heter of not by bishul or not. The Ramah says no, and the Mechaber says yes. So the Prima Gadim points out that the kasha of the Shach really doesn't start on the Ramah, even though the Beis Yosef himself also has this discussion. Within the Beis Yosef it would be a kasha, but within the Ramah himself, argues the Prima Gadim, it's not a kasha of not by not. So within the Ramah himself, the Ramah is very, very beautiful. The Ramah himself would be machmir in terms of not bar not. So over here, when we're machmir for not bar not, that you can't eat it with the kutach, but you don't have a din of 6 hours. That would be the Prima Gadim's mahalach. I gave you the Yad Yehuda's mahalach. And then there's a Rabbi Akiva Eger. Rabbi Akiva Eger has another sharp teretz. Rabbi Akiva Eger, Kedarko Bekodesh. You can never outmaneuver Rabbi Akiva Eger, almost never. Sifkat and Dalet, you know, speaking of which, you know the story with Satmar Rav and Rabbi Akiva Eger. Story goes that there was a fellow who wrote a sefer to be miyashiv Rabbi Akiva Eger's kashas on the Gilyon Hashas. So let's say there's about 1,000 tzarachiyons that Rabbi Akiva Eger has in his Gilyon Hashas in Shas. So he wrote 300 answers. So Satma Rav wrote him a beautiful haskama, and the haskama Satma Rav said, there's a Talmud Chacham, there's a Gaon and Charif. I see that he's a Gaon HaCharif, that he was Zocha to understand 700 of Rabbi Akiva Eger's kashas. That's the legend. Okay. But the point is, in the yeshiva, it's unlike almost any other kasha, that there's always a reason why, we always formulate a reason why Rabbi Akiva Eger didn't give that answer. Whenever Rabbi Akiva Eger has a tzarachiyon, in the yeshiva says a mesorah to be masbir, why Rabbi Akiva Eger didn't give that answer. As Rabbi Akiva Eger is on a special pedestal for a good reason. So in Sifkat and Dalet, Rabbi Akiva Eger gives a very sharp teretz to the kasha. It's also something that relates to not bar not. Again, the kasha is, why did the Ramah say the problem is in terms of eating milchiks after cooking in this pot of basar? In such a case, there you have the heter of not bar not. So Rabbi Akiva Eger points out there are times we don't have the heter of not bar not. Sifkat and dal nias daiti yeshlam de nafkamina afilu bishlo chometz the charif bikarish al baser the imba mishum not bar not. So everybody should know this halacha. The only time you have the heter of not bar not is if you have fish. But if you have a dover charif, so then in such a case you're not allowed to eat it with the kutach. And the assumption is that the dover charif is able to absorb the tam basar in more of a potent way. Obviously, this is going to be probably the hardest sugi, and all basar b'chol is a sugi of davar charif, but it has the power to absorb it in a more of a potent manner, and therefore we don't have the heter of not barnats. It says Rabbi Akiva Eger, that would be the case, that would be the ukimta of the Ramah. So three terutzim to the famous kasha, the shach, and the chiddush that comes out la'alacha from the Yad Yehuda. I put down on the Mar Mekomos the Yad Yehuda and Lamed, so the Yad Yehuda just is Magdir, what the Tavshil Shel Basar is, where he spells out the Tavshil Shel Basar is that the Basar, as Binyamin said, gives off Tam into the item itself, even though there's no Basar at all. So if the item has Basar itself, so then in such a case, then it would be Basar Mamish. But the point is that you have a Din Tavshil Shel Basar even if there's no basar whatsoever. Okay, that concludes what our outline has through Sif Gimel. We just need to wrap up the Ramah. The Ramah continues, V'chein no'agin lechol basar achat tavshul sheish bogvin al-chalav, miyu yesh litol yodav b'nehem. But there is a requirement of netila. V'afilu lo yochal basar mamish, rak tavshul shel basar achat tavshul shel gvina, im noga behem yodav. So we have a klal that if you've eaten previously the other item, so then in such a case you need netila. Again, as Rav Vosner emphasized, people are sometimes not careful about this. They're not careful about the requirement of netila between the two phenomena, and one should. Concludes the Ramah, Shamish, Hamishamish b'su'udah v'nogeh ba'ochlin, eino tzarech netila, t'lo hitzruchu netila rak la'ochlin. The Ramah concludes, but a Shamish does not need to do netila. And the Shach goes to town, the Shach says, I have no idea what the Ramah is talking about. This is a case where the Shach says that the Ramah is just blatantly wrong. And he seemed to have mixed up Gemaras. There is a halacha that you probably have, when you learn brachos, discussed, and that is the chiyuv of netila rishona. That the ones who has the chiyuv to do netila sidayim is not the shamish, but those who are eating. However, in regards to netila emtsayim, and that is that you have netila in the middle of the meal, when you touched gvina, if you're going to go to basar, you need to wash your hands. That should apply, argues the Shach in Sif Katan Chaf Aleph, whether you're eating or whether you're not. When did the Gemara say in Brachos that the halacha is that the Shamish doesn't have the same halacha? That's by Netila Rishona. That's not by Netila Emtsayim. Our Netila is Netila Emtsayim. Take a look and see the Shach Sif Katan Chaf Aleph. Emes lo digdiku klal. De Rashi lo ayri hasam el inyin tilas yadayim arishonim la'achila. It's also a Rashi in Perikol HaBasar and Kuvzayin and Beis. Many are familiar with from Brachos. At the end of the day, the Shach says that this is very, very difficult. Who cares whether you're eating or whether you're not? At the end of the day, if you're nogeya ba'ochel, so then in such a case, where choshesh, that you're when you're going to touch the other ochel, the shamish, the waiter is going to touch the other ochel, so he's going to bring the mamashas of gvina onto the basar. So this is the Shach's bomb kasha. So here you have another beautiful teretz, this time from the Plesi. The Plesi is in the last page, I believe, of your photocopies. Maybe not the last page. No, it's not the last page. Oh, maybe it is. I'm just looking at the wrong page. It should be the last page. Yes, the Plesi on the last page, in Simen Pei Tes. He quotes this kasha, and he says the way the Shach presents it, the Ramah was quoting from a Beis Yosef, is that the Beis Yosef's mamish just made a basic mistake in the Gemara. Says the Plesi beautifully in Peites Vav. No, v'niret a Beis Yosef chas v'chalil lo hayatav b'zeh. Rak svir le delo matzinu b'shum duchta detiknu b'nogeh b'basar ba'alma shelo yiga b'gvina chiyitol yadav. He says there was never a takana of mayim of netilas mayim o'im tsa'im unless the individual was eating. That we don't see that there was a takana of netilas yadayim if I'm tsa'im, the place he argues, unless you were eating. It's a chshash rachok. So when you have someone who's eating, whose mamish, his hands are next to his mouth and he's going, so then in such a case, then there was a chiyuv netila for someone who's eating. But a shamish, we never saw that there was such a takana. And therefore, argues the Plesi, that is the halacha. This would, of course, explain why the Minig Yisrael is that when someone is preparing food, and they're not in the middle of a meal, they're not makvid to do netila, right? Do we tell mothers who are preparing their children's food for the next day, that there's a chiyuv for them to do netila? There's a chiyuv netila? Let's say they're preparing milchiks. So, obviously, if she notices that there's something on her hand, of course she's going to have to. But is there a halacha that says that when a mother prepares a child's breakfast for the next day, or lunch for the next day, that if she's going to go serve her husband fleishiks, that she has to do a netilas yadayim? Lo matzana lezeh. According to the Shach, yesh la'ayin, it could be there's room to be mekel even according to the Shach. But based on the placey, certainly, could be halacha in Shamish. Could be halacha in Shamish. But according to the placey, this whole halacha of netilas yadayim ansayim is only halacha in regards to those who are ochel himself. Take a look at the placey. It's a beautiful teretz. Yes, Binyamin.
Turns back to the previous the Ramah brought, the Nagar Moshe brought two shittas, so I understand that
you know, I'm sorry, Binyan, I just want to keep on pushing ahead, and then, because it's already the previous topic, I come over to me afterwards.
It's actually very big part, right? What's the option for Lesser if you hold that Mara is Lesser?
The Ramos was mechalic between two different types of Mara.
Wasn't that in the original first?
Right.
Everyone agrees that Ramos Chalik, there's no data that even Fizz Marak is Lesser Hatma.
According to the second, Eina Chanami, according to the second day of Beis Yosef, you'd be machmir for that as well. Right, so you're asking what's the definition? Yeah, what's the nafkamina would presumably be something that was cooked and then it was entirely removed from it. In other words, right. Or like the oil after you cooked it, the oil with the meat. And then the meat is entirely taken out. Siv Dalet. Misha ochel gvina. Verotza lechol basar tzarech levar me'al ha'shulchan shiurei ha'pas. Now we begin the topic of shiurei ha'pas. Shiurei ha'pas is the leftover bread that is found after a meal. So here we have a halacha. It's a chumra from the Kadmonim that's based on Yerushalmi. And that says that the meat that an individual eats, excuse me, the bread that is on the table that an individual ate has the din of that item. So if it was on a fleishig, table has a din fleishig. The Mechaber's case was that it was on a milchiga table. So then he says, Tzarech levar me'al shulchan shiur pasha achla ma'gvina. You got to get rid of it. Va'asar lechol gvina al ma'pash achla ba'basar. And then there's another halacha, and that is that you're not allowed to eat on the same mapa, on the same mat. So let's focus on the resha of this halacha, and that is sarech levar me'al shulchan shiurei pas sha'achal. So what is the hagdara of shiurei pas sha'achal? The literal understanding of the mechaber is that any bread that is on the table with a milchig meal can never be eaten again with fleishigs. That's the literal, and that's the simple pshat, if you will, of the Shulchan Aruch based on the Yerushalmi. However, Rav Moshe Feinstein in a tshuva is more makel. Rav Moshe in Chelek Aleph, Simen Lamed Ches, says that we're not talking about any bread that was on the table. Let's say, Rav Moshe's hagdar is as follows. Let's say you're cutting your challah on Shabbos. By the way, this comes up, of course, all the time, right? What do most people, or many people, do with the bread after Shabbos for Sunday? I'll tell you what my wife does. French toast, right? It's not just in our house. So l'chura, how could we ever make French toast, right? What about the shiurei ha'pas? So my wife has Ramesh on her side. Ramesh says like this, well, maybe partially. And then she'll have Rav Nevinzal on her side. But Ramesh says like this. Ramesh says that the small pieces of bread that are cut up in a chanami are aser, and people are not aware of that. According to Ramesh, it'll be aser. However, so let's say you have, this is the loaf. So let's say the Baal Bais, you know, according to Zohar, you're supposed to cut through both loaves of bread. You know that? According to the Zohar, you're supposed to cut through both. This way, that's how you have the cheshbon of the lechem aponim. I had Elter Zaydis, they have the custom. You saw Chassidim, they have 12 bread, lechem aponim. So the Gra doesn't like it. The Gra says, Gra always likes to rectify, because the Gemara says two chalas. So Gra explains that the lechem aponim is if you have three meals with two loaves and you cut all of them in half, so it comes out that each meal you have four, so three times four is 12. That's the lechem aponim. That's classic in which the Gra doesn't want the Zohar to be cholek on the Gemara, which, by the way, we're set with our Gras as well when he was quoting Zohar also. It was always the Zohar working in consonance with the Gemara. Anyhow, so the you cut your challah in half, and then you cut the left side, you cut up into small pieces, you put it in the serving plate, and then you have the other half, and you're waiting if the guests want more, so then you're going to cut up more. Otherwise, you're going to leave it. You're going to leave it for another time. So let's say you have both of them sitting on the table. Says Ramesha, the small pieces of bread are aser, and the large pieces of bread, the larger part of the loaf that wasn't cut up, that's going to be mutter. That's Ramesha Shita, and I think that's how many follow. Rav Miller Shlita, though, did say there are many that are more machmir than Ramosha, but he didn't mention any that are more meikah. In other words, there are some, he said there are no in Eretz Yisrael, that the moment in which the bread is on the table, the simple reading of the Mechaber is, and then everything is going to be aser. What's that?
Isn't there a Ramah like that?
Oh, we're going to get to Shavuos. We'll get to Shavuos. I'll make reference to Shavuos, and maybe you'll tell me what you're referring to shortly. Rav Nevinzal Shlita is more makel than Rav Moshe himself. Rav Nevinzal is of the opinion that this is not the case of shiurei pas she'achal im hagvina. Rav Nevinzal is medayik from the word she'achal im hagvina. Rav Nevinzal holds that the only thing that's usher is bread that was used to eat with cheese. Now, sociology of, or anthropology of food, it actually supports Rav Nevinzal's approach. Once upon a time, as I pointed out to the Avrichim during Seder, there weren't a lot of silverware. Bread was not only a staple that was eaten to fill you up, but people would also eat bread the way many use crackers today. The bread was used to lift up food. If it just dawned on me now, if you notice the Arab workers, that when the pita is, they don't, when they go to the store for the break, they don't buy silverware. So what? But they have salads, so they use the pita. The pita is used to lift up. So that was how most people ate a long time ago. So Rav Nevinzal argues that's the imagvina. If you had pita that you used to as a dip, so then in such a case, the entire bread is aser. Not only the area that came in contact, but that piece is aser. But what happens if you have a piece of bread that was sat in the middle of the table throughout the meal? So then in such a case, he's more makel than Ramosha. He's more makel than Ramosha. And he says in such a case, it would be mutter as well. So there are three different approaches. Some were even more machmir than Ramosha, Ramosha's position, and Rav Nevinzal who's more makel. So therefore, in our house, we're not necessarily so careful. As long as it wasn't something that was lechol ha'basar, so then you'd be allowed to make it for French toast as well. Okay, let's continue on in the mechaber. V'chein lehefech aser v'kol shekein she'aser lachto kevina afilu tzonenes pesakin shirugin lachto basar. Certainly, it's prohibited to cut cheese, even that which is cold, with a knife that is used normally to cut meat. V'lo od el afilu hapash she'ochlim magvina aser lachto. And this, again, using our previous Hagdara, the bread that was used to scoop out cheese, so then in such a case, you're not allowed to cut that same bread with a sakin shechotkun babasar. V'chein lehefech nami asur. Mi, comments the Ramah. Oh, by the way, in regards to what you said about Shuas, Jacob, I did have a tzarchin. Today I forgot to ask Rav Nevinzal about this. I just have a maramakom. Yisrael, maybe think, look into this, that the Mishnah Brura I wrote down for myself in Tav Tzadi Dalid Yud Dalid seems to be closer to Rav Moshe than it does to Rav Nevinzal. That's what seemed to me al regel achas. And you're mentioning that the Ramah himself might even be more machmir there in Tav Tzadi Dalid. Yeah. So, okay, Yesh La'ayin. So it's important to look in Hilchos Shavuos. Yeah, he's Medav Teshnei Anechem. And take a look at the Lashon of the Mishnah Brura over there, Yesh La'ayin, Tav Tzadi Dalid Yud Dalid. Okay, let's continue on in the Ramah. So the Ramah concludes about this part of cutting. Not only are we machmir not to cut a milchiga piece of bread with a knife, but also we are machmir in general to have a knife that's fleishiks, but in general we have two different knives. And ve'ein l'shanos minig Yisrael. Now, this line about ni'itza, for those who don't know what the Ramah is referring to, is ni'itza means thrusting the knife into the ground. And the Ramah is saying that if you made a mistake and you cut the pas she'ochlim gvina, so then if you do ni'itza in the karka, then it's going to be mutter. Now, ni'itza is found in a few places in Hilchos Basar B'Chalav. What the Rama is saying over here is that any shamnunis, any fat, or any mamashos, or any surface blias that are in the sakin, I know I spoke about different things, ayidei ni'itza are going to be mutter. As I wrote in the outline, this is not the best place to discuss hilchos ni'itza, and we're going to leave hilchos ni'itza for now. Emir Hashem, as we keep on plowing ahead, we'll get to it later on. But this is Be'ezer Hashem, Simen Pei Tes. Of course, Simen Sadi is Alachos of Chal, which we're not going to do now. Halavai, we should finish everything we need to and then go back to Chal. But Chal is really not Halach Lamaisa today. The Halachos of an udder that's been cooked with its milk, it's not been cooked with its milk, etc., etc., that really does not come up. And we have to choose out, pick our spots, as they say. So let's Be'ezer Hashem begin. Simin Sadi, I was okay for it to go ahead, Binyamin. Try to keep on covering ground, Be'ezer Hashem. So in Simin Sadi Aleph, the halachos of Basar v'cholav shenes arvu, what we're going to discuss are first are the halachos of Negia. The Mishnah in Kuv Zayin Amud Beis discusses Negia between Basar and Cholav. This all starts with a basic Mishnah in Gemara. If you don't have your Gemara with you, I hope you are looking up the Gemaras, and then one day you'll be able to rip through Kalabasar. Chaval, that Kalabasar should be foreign to you. At least look up the basic halachos in the Gemara itself. Kalabasar is not a hard parak. So we're going to touch on almost all of the... It's a beautiful parak. The hard Gemara we'll get to, and Mirtz Hashem, we'll do it together. But most of Kalabasar is straightforward. Chaval not to have an association with that parak. It would be a beautiful way to chazer your limud, is to do it. Covered that parak cover to cover with the Tosis. So the Mishnah says, "Tzar adam basar ugvina b'matpechas achas." You're allowed to hold, contain basar and gvina in one cloth. Ubilvach lo yu nogin zebezeh. One condition is that they shouldn't touch each other. Once they touch each other, the basar and gvina, then you're going to have a problem. Zok deheilug gemara v'china geya zebezeh mehave. What's the problem if one touches the other? Sonen bitsonenu. Ooh. So now we get involved. This really, our simon, Sadi Aleph, is all about Isser and Basar Bechalav being transferred through heat. So we have our rule. If you want to know what's the source that only something that's hot will transfer Isser, so that's this Gemara on Kuf Zayin Amud Beis, where the Gemara says, what's the problem that the Basar and Gvina come in contact with each other? At the end of the day, it's sonen bitsonen. So the Gemara answers, Amar Abaye nihi de klipa lo boi. You don't have to peel off a layer, hadacha mia boi, but what you will need is to wash it off. Oh, so we have this halacha of negia, when there's negia, even if there's no heat involved, so you need to do hadacha. Why do you need to do hadacha? Very simply, the Rishonim explain that when they've touched each other and they're moist, so then in such a case, then the moisture of the basar will go on the gvina, moisture of the gvina will go on the basar, and in such a case, then you have an iser derabanan of basar v'chalav together. It's not a kizayis, but it'll still be basar v'chalav derabanan. Of course, why it's not the araisa? Because not the erech bishul. But at the end of the day, it'll be an iser derabanan. Zok deheilige mechaber, basar gvina shenogu zebezeh mutarin, ela shetzarech la'diach makam negiyasan. You just need to wash off. So that's the bottom line. The Shach points out that there are times we could even be more makel than the Mechaber. Says the Shach, but that's only if one of them is moist, as we alluded to. But if both are dry, so then in such a case, you don't need hadacha. I'll just give you a maramalkum because it's late. The Chavis Das on this Shach claims that the Rama does not agree with this. A Rama that we're going to get to. It'll be a bonus if you can figure out the Rama that we're going to be working on Siv Bey is a difficult Rama. The Chavis Das claims would not agree with this Shach. But either way, this is the basic halacha. Whether the Chavis Das is right, Bedas HaRama is going to be quite complicated. But this is the basic halacha. However, the basic halacha is not the full halacha. The basic halacha needs to be tempered, and you're going to see that once we get into intense stuff, Simon Pei test wasn't intense. It was fun. It was cheerful. It was interesting. It was very practical. But it's not. Now we're starting to get into intense stuff. In the intense stuff, what we're going to do is I'm going to organize things more based on topic as opposed to going straight from sif to sif. So here's an example. All the way at the end of Simon Sadi Aleph, the basic halacha is actually contradicted by halacha lemaisa, lemaisa, lemaisa of the minig of chumras of Ashkenaz. Okay, so even though this is the mechaber and the shach with the pure reading, however, if you take a look all the way in this end of Simin Tzadi Aleph, so then you will see that what comes out from the Ramah and the shach is a chumra. If you take a look at Sif Zayin, the Ramah says the following. The Ramah says that any time you have a food item that's afui or mevushal, then the halacha is that we're afraid that one, the item that is mevushal, is more likely to be an absorbent. It's more likely to absorb. Okay? So therefore, what happens if you have basar mevushal that touches gvina? Says the shach in Sifkatan Chafei, Mishum dikiva de nitzo nefo nespashal, afagav de tzonenu rochich uboleya. It has the ability to be boleya. Umashma medivre aposkim de ein chiluk bein nimlach tzas, shenechel machnes milcho bein lo nimlach klal, don't worry about that. And says the shach, based on the Ramah, that even though that the halacha is that all you need to do is have hadacha, when you have something that is lach that touches the other item, but once the Ramah introduces the idea that afui and mevusho have a stronger power, so then you have to say the following. You have to say, says the Yamsho Shlomo, that when it comes to gvina, gvina is not very lach, and therefore when basar touches it, at most it will only reach the place of hadacha. All you have to do is rub off the top. But if there's chalav that is any more lach than gvina, observes the Yamshel Shlomo based on the chumras of the Ramah, then in such a case, it's not enough to do hadacha. You might need klipa, or you might even need more than klipa. So I'm just pointing out that even though this is the basic halacha, once the Ramah and the Shach introduced that afui and mevushal have the power to absorb more than regular basar, than the classic case, so then in such a case it could very well be that klipa is not going to be the only thing that is, that hadacha is not going to be enough, and you might even require klipa. This is summarized well in the Oz V'Hadar Shulchan Aruch, that this shach might be the basic halacha, but is not the full chum. Okay. Now this halacha, Sif Aleph, is developed beautifully into Sif Beis by the Tur. Let's take a look at the Tur in Sif Beis. Go to Tzadi Aleph in the Tur Sif Beis. Quoting the Bala Itur. Kasav Bala Itur Shmamina. We hear from here. Kol Midi Diboy Adacha. Kigon basar heter tzonein bika'ara shel iser tzonein. Asar lechatchila. Dilma achil belo adacha. What does the Bala Iter say? Shma mina. Once the Gemara told us that there is a chshash, that tzonein b'tzonein, once they touch each other, so then what's going to happen is that they're going to contract the opposite species, and we saw even that today we have to be even more machmir by afui mevushal. It could even be that hadach is not enough, says the Bala Iter, then the same would apply with kalim as well. If you have a keli that has some shamnunis on top of it, and the basar comes on top of that kli, the case of the Bala Iter was that we were talking about, let's be precise, we have basar heter Bikara shel isur. So the ka'ara is isur, and now you put basar on top of it. So then in such a case, it's going to be asur to put it on top. Dilma acha belo adafcha. Because we're afraid you're going to eat it without adafcha. Now that we know that the isur could be transferred even when it's cold, so the shamnunis itself, we're going to be machmeron. But that's only meat that you normally don't wash off. But if you have raw meat that people wash off before they cook, then you're allowed to put it down on a treif plate, even though it has shamnunis, because you're going to wash it off. Of course, if you don't wash it off, then it's going to be aser. But if you normally wash it off, then in such a case, it's not a problem. Says the Shulchan Aruch, exactly this halacha. The problem is that the Ramah's not going to understand exactly this way, but the Shulchan Aruch says it this way. Kol midi debayadacha, everything that needs to be washed off. Kigon, laniach basar heter, tzonein bekar shel iser tzonein, asa lechatchila, dilma acha b'lo adacha, v'dafka mevushol delav urchei ba'adacha, avol midi to urchei ba'adacha, kigon basar chayu kiyotze bo shari lechatchila. That's exactly what we saw in the tour. According to this, simple reading then is treif kalim are really not a problem on those things that it's normal to do hadach on. Because even if the treif kli has shamnunis on it, so yes, it's going to be a problem if you eat it, but if it's something that you normally do hadacha, nevertheless, one would be able to be makel. However, the Darkei Moshe made life, the Ramah, made life very complicated. Comes along the Darkei Moshe on this Balo Itur. That's the best way to start the sugya in all of its detail. The Darkei Moshe comments that he doesn't think that this psak of the Balo Itur fits with other areas in Halacha. V'yesh lahakshas. Sifkotan Aleph and Darkei Moshe. Do Amrino Perikol Shah, Klish and Ishtamish Bochamitz, Mishtamish Bo Matz.